Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring.
All right, we are live here. We're joined by Eric Nathanson. Thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate you taking the time out of your day. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I am looking forward to this baseball season, and I'm excited as a Giants fan. How's it going here?
Hey, that's exactly what I want to hear. Also, I mean, Giants have always been one of those teams I love watching. They, you know, throughout my youth in high school, they made the classic run from, you know, 2010 to 2014, and it was just some characters on there. You got some powerhouse teams. You got some regular guys on there, and just kind of putting them on this historic run. But and then right now, I think it's a great time to be a Giants fan, even if they're in that division over there in the NL West, which has become just a powerhouse of a division. We've got this one right now. We've got Diamondbacks later. I'm talking Diamondbacks. But yeah, man, just give me a general vibe check of what you're feeling going into this year, especially after, first game of the season yesterday.
Well, I'm going to try to keep the first game of the season yesterday notwithstanding at the moment because bullpen are shoes.
Yeah, that's all right. It happens.
They crept in there, and all the other facets of the team are what have me excited. It was a huge offseason for this franchise. Bob Melvin was hired as manager. Farhan Zaidi got to pick a second manager in his regime, which doesn't always get to happen for people running. So Farhan Zaidi and Pete Petilla hired Bob Melvin. And then they went to work on changing this team and kind of making a new kind of roster. And even though they didn't get Otani and even though they didn't get Yamamoto, they walked out of this offseason with pretty much all of baseball agreeing that the Giants had a pretty good haul. The additions of Jorge Soler, Matt Chapman in the lineup are going to be absolutely huge. Everyday players, one in the DH position, one at third base. You've got Blake Snell, who signed at the end. And it wasn't just the signing of Blake Snell. Blake Snell's huge coming off the Cy Young. Logan Webb you have as the number one starter, who was second in Cy Young voting. I mean, that's a pretty good top. But earlier in the offseason, trading for Robbie Ray, who's coming off Tommy John with the Seattle Mariners, and shipping out Anthony DeSclafani and Mitch Haniger in the process. So it showed signs that the Giants were willing to change. And more so than any other time in Farhan Zaidi's tenure, there's a plan in place. Like, you can see them adjusting on the fly and trying to aggregate talent, basically, and get better players in the ball club. And so watching the pitching staff get made over, Jordan Hicks signed. He's expected to be a starter. We're going to get a full year out of Kyle Harrison. So on that side of the ball, the Giants are just exciting. Logan Webb, I mean, the end of the season, you could have Logan Webb, Blake Snell, Robbie Ray, who's a Cy Young winner as well, Kyle Harrison, Alex Cobb as your starting rotation. And I don't know if you're running into the playoffs, I don't think I want to face the three-headed monster now and Robbie Ray at this point. So that's got me pretty excited about the Giants. The fact that, like I said, Soler and Chapman signed. So there's going to be less platooning than's been going on in years past with Gabe Kapler. The addition of Bob Melvin is just a steady hand to guide that ship. And for once, I see a real plan forward for the Giants. I see some talent on this club, and I think they can make the playoffs this season. I'm really excited about it.
I absolutely agree with you. I'm a pitching first guy. I think they've gone under the radar a little bit, especially because of all the last minute stuff, you know, with Blake Snell getting on there, it just bolsters it up. And I mean, the National League West is ripe with pitching at this point, but the Giants, when you got veterans like Snell, Logan Webb, Alex Cobb, guys like that, and then the addition of, you know, Robbie Ray coming back, getting a healthy season, stuff like that is, I mean, crucial for these guys. But that's you're absolutely right when you nail it on the head when it's like you get to the playoffs. That's not, it's a whole nother season there. And you run into just a buzzsaw of sinkers and two seamers, and hammer curveballs. But, even the offensive side, the additions there with, you know, like you said, Soler, even a guy like Jung-Hoo Lee, having a guy, it's like, yes, his first season, and, you know, I'm excited for him. It's a guy that I think, you know, with all the offseason additions coming from Asia, I think there's a little bit of talk down south of you guys, but I think he's also slipping under the radar. It's just like a contact guy, an electric player who's going to make stuff happen. But yeah, all around, I think people are kind of counting them out, not counting them out, but, you know, it's the Dodgers season to lose here, I feel like, publicly. So I think you guys are going to be a real contender, though. That's at least my guess.
I'll be honest. I have been not anti-Farhan, but I have not enjoyed the direction of this club the last few years.
Sure.
And so I came into this offseason miserable. I was upset as a Giants fan. I hate the way things have been going. I don't see anything in sight. And Jung-Hoo Lee was part of that, like, okay, maybe things are a little different this time around. Mm-hmm. You know, mentioning the one game that has been played this year, you can see his bat-to-ball skills are just excellent. He hits stuff within the strike zone. He won't chase pitches. And he made contact. He contributed yesterday in the Giants in the home, not the home opener, the opener. And yeah, he brought just another steady hand to the lineup. So Lee gets installed in center field every single day. And that gives them a chance to put Conforto in left, Yastrzemski in right. And then Luis Matos, who got recalled today because Yaz is going on the paternity list. He's going to be a guy filling in, Austin Slater filling in the outfield. Lee, though, just he excites me. Like, I really can't wait. I hope he hits over 300. I think he can. I really do think that his skills are going to translate. You know, doing some research for the season, I think it was 347 he hit last year, and he's never hit lower than 318 in any of his Korean baseball league seasons. Mm-hmm. 318 is pretty good. Will it translate to over 300 over here? Who really knows? But when you just watch it, you can see with the eye test that the talent's there, and he's really quality. And then on the outfield side, he covers ground well. He has great routes. He takes the balls, and he has an above average arm. So he's everything you're kind of looking for. And I know the Giants love getting a Korean star. I mean, his dad was a star in Korea, so they're gonna sell tickets. His nickname is Grandson of the Wind because his dad's nickname was Son of the Wind because he was a famous shortstop in KBO. So he followed in the footsteps and earned Grandson in the Wind as his nickname. So you know that the Giants fan base kind of is going to expand this year. And like you said, they're under the radar. The Dodgers, Dodgers. Even I picked the Dodgers to win the World Series this year. I'm not going to lie. And they're all the talk of everything, and rightly so, when you've got Betts, Freeman, and Otani at the top of the lineup. But the Giants are not to be slept on. I think this team can win 90-something games. Pitching's there. And if the offense stays steady, they'll get there. They had some good innings yesterday that showed some promise with this offense. So they weren't.
Yeah. And it's also the first game of the, you know, people like to put too much. I just like that the season's back. But it's, as a Mariners guy, you know, I live out in Seattle. I'm on the East Coast right now. But just keeping up with it late night here and watching Twitter, Mariners Twitter, just have a absolute meltdown. I'm like, guys, there's so many left. Like, we're gonna be okay. You're not reacting like this to a loss in the middle of May. You know what I mean? It's like, just because it's the first one and there's more eyes on it, I think we're gonna be fine. So it's the same with the Giants, where it's like, yeah, man,
everyone's got to win and lose at some point. So, but yeah, man, I'm excited for you guys. How do you think Bob Melvin's gonna fare up in San Francisco? It's like just moving down the road for you guys on the West Coast there. But I've heard mixed reviews on Bob Melvin going out of San Diego and when he was in San Diego, and especially, you know, losing a guy like Gabe Kapler at the helm, who I thought was a good manager, did a great job. But how are the vibes there with the new head honcho?
Well, what's fascinating is we all heard the chatter that maybe the locker room and the clubhouse in San Diego was not Bob Melvin's anymore. And, you know, sure. The thing about the Giants clubhouse last season is it also kind of went off the rails. There were definite stories of certain players that felt it was more important to get to their card game than to necessarily care about the baseball game. And that kind of stuff's been washed out. So it's kind of an experiment, if you think about it, where a guy is leaving a clubhouse that kind of lost him and trying to take over another clubhouse. I think he'll go over well in San Francisco. It's after Gabe Kapler, they need somebody who's going to be more of a steady hand. Gabe actively got the input of the front office when he was making some moves and creating some lineups and how they wanted to approach the game. And it seems like Bob's going to be more hands-off. Yes, there'll be collaborations with the front office and the analytics and everything like that. There will be moves. Yesterday was an example. Wilmer Flores pinch hit for Lamont Wade Jr. when the Padres brought in a left-handed reliever, which is exactly the move they should be making. Any old school manager is making that move anyways. That's not like Kapler specific. But that, I think, is the benefit of Bob Melvin. Is he is a steady hand. It's crazy to me. There are seven teams that play their games on the West Coast that start, you know, games around like 10 o'clock Eastern. Bob's now managed for five of them. The only two he hasn't managed for are the two LA teams, and it's just kind of weird. But I think he's good for the ball club. Am I a little concerned about getting over the hump because he's never seemed to get over the hump? Yeah, I am. I have kind of my doubts about that a little bit. I really do. But I think the Giants are under better leadership right now with Bob Melvin. I was not a huge fan of Gabe Kapler. I didn't think he had the best feel for the game as far as game flow is concerned, using particular matchups and situations that may go against the numbers just based on how guys are looking and things like that. I didn't think he excelled at, and I'm curious to see if Bob's a little better at that. So I'm hoping he is. I truly am.
Yeah, we'll definitely see how it plays out. But it seems like amongst Giants fans, it seems like it was a good offseason, clearly, especially late at the end there. But the energy going into this, I think, is good, especially for how the rest of the league is looking at the West Coast. And I don't know, look at the, you know, obviously you got the Rockies down there doing whatever it is they're doing. But I think the Diamondbacks are going to have, I think it's going to be a fight, man. I think the West Coast on both sides, American League and National League, it's going to be an interesting run till the end. But it's like, I guess, you know, I'm going to throw it over to you once again, but it's the whole theme of this podcast. But Eric, I want you to state your case for the Giants moving into this season, especially out there in the National League West.
Well, the 2024 Giants are a different breed than they've been. They're not the same old matchup team who's hoping that their young prospects are going to come up and win. They've got proven talent in the organization and in the starting lineup and rotation at this point. Blake Snell not only is an addition, but he's a subtraction because he's not going to go to San Diego, the Dodgers, or the Diamondbacks, like you said, and that helps the ball club. Getting Robbie Ray healthy is going to be fantastic. Pitching is the main case for the Giants. But then you got Soler anchoring the lineup. The Giants haven't had a hitter hit 30 home runs since Barry Bonds. And Jorge Soler is kind of the guy that I think can do it. Now, he might hit 20 of them on the road and only 10 of them in Oracle Park, but I can see him doing it. And that's an aspect of power they haven't had before. Infield defense has been a problem the last few seasons for the Giants. So what do? You go out and get Matt Chapman, one of the best platinum glove winners and defensively. And we saw it yesterday in opening day. He made a couple of nice plays. They went with Nick Ahmed at short right now, which is fine. Brandon Crawford has been moved along to the Cardinals. And we're sad as Giants fans to see Crawford go. But we understand it's part of moving on. Marco Luciano is waiting in the wings to possibly come up. You know, Tyro Estrada's steady at second base. And honestly, Lamont Wade Jr. has been pretty good at first base. So the infield defense has shored up a little bit, specifically with the addition of Chapman. And then the outfield defense. Yastrzemski is fantastic and right. The addition of Jung-Hoo Lee is an everyday center fielder, running around out there, running down balls, throwing runners out. And it gives them a chance to rotate who they need to in left field with Conforto, possibly Luis Matos, Austin Slater will get right-handed at bats for them. The Giants have more talent than they've had any of the last few years. And they absolutely, because it is not a unbalanced schedule anymore, because the schedule is more balanced and they only have to face the Dodgers 12 times, the Padres 12 times, the Diamondbacks 12 times, the Giants absolutely could win 90 games this year and make the playoffs. I see them as a playoff team this season. And then once they get there, anything can happen. We've seen it time and again. Last year was a all wild card World Series. Giants could do it themselves this season. So that's my case for the Giants. They are looking good.
I think they're looking good too. Also, I like what you said at the beginning of the episode there, but if you get that team to the playoffs, it doesn't matter how they get in. That's not a staff I want to face going into a series. And I think that could be said for quite a few teams. But I definitely think that they're flying under the radar a little bit, and we're going to see how the season pans out. It's a lot of games, a lot of time left, but I'm really excited for them. I'm excited to watch that pitching. And like old school coaches always say, pitching and defense, that'll win you a World Series. So, you know, you got to rely on the old cliches there. But I think it's an exciting year, and it's also an even year. It's 2024 here, so we'll see how it pans out, man.
I don't mind that thought process at all. I mean, under coach, the Giants were dangerous. If they got in, you knew they could do it because he just knows how to do it. He showed that last year.
Clearly.
We don't know Bob Melvin, right? We don't know if Bob Melvin has the same DNA, but the back end of the bullpen with Camilo Duval firing heat, and then you got the Rogers twins as your lefty-righty combination. I know there was a hiccup yesterday with Luke Jackson, who's now hurt, and I don't know why they brought him into the game specifically instead of one of the Rogers guys, and I didn't see any reason why afterwards, but that does help that pitching staff of Snell, Webb, you know, Cobb, Harrison, Robbie Ray, those guys at the back end, because Duvall is nobody notices, but he's been one of the best closers in baseball for like three straight years at this point. He was just a kid when he coughed it up in the 2021 playoffs against the Dodgers. He's had some good solid years under his belt now, and he shores up the back end, which really does help solidify the pitching staff.
Absolutely. And I think there's going to be quite a few games where they're going to need to use him this year, especially in that division. So we're going to see how it goes, but also want to shout out the man, Alex Cobb, Vero Beach High School native. That's where I'm at right now. That's where I played. Right, so the one guy to make it to the big leagues from our school. So I'm always rooting for him. He's kind of picked it up in the back half of his career, kind of changed his game. And, you know, they've got a lot of veteran leadership on that team between him and quite a few other guys. So even if Bob Melvin's not coming in there and he's not going to be Bruce Bochy, but you know, you got a lot of veteran leadership throughout that ball club, so they're going to be exciting to watch. But Eric, thanks for coming on today. I forgot to say at the beginning, but if you got a podcast or social media, go ahead and plug that out. Let the people know where they can find you and hear you talk Giants.
Yes, absolutely. I host the TortureCast podcast. We are in our 14th season, the longest running San Francisco Giants podcast of any kind. We are named TortureCast because in 2010, when they won their first title during that season, they had some close games, specifically against the Padres. And at the end of the game, Dwayne Kuiper was like, "Giants baseball, torture." And so we kind of ran with that in 2010, and we've been going ever since. So TortureCast is the podcast you can find me on. Also, I write and do live streams on GiantsChatter.net, which is also a Giants Chatter Facebook group. I host a Sunday show, Coffee in the Cove, where we talk about baseball, anything Giants, all that kind of fun stuff, drink some coffee, set ourselves up for the week, and also recaps, articles, and stuff like that. Like, I just wrote a season preview and recap the first game, so you can find that over there too. So that's where I'm at if you want to talk Giants baseball.
Nice. Yeah, if you're listening, go check them out. And I got to say, historically, I've always had my favorite announcers to listen to, and it was – you know, the Mariners guys, Jerry and Don Orsillo out in Boston. And then the San Francisco guys, I always, some about them, man. I loved listening to them call games. So, yeah, this was a fun one, man. But thanks for joining us, Eric. And we're hoping to get you back around mid-season so we can see how things are going for everybody.
Right on. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, guys, this is Baseballs and Boring. My name is Reese. We will see you next time.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.